I want to speak to you about why we never need fear death. In my text is Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, there is a discussion between Jesus and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. And so Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." Listen to this. You are mistaken. What are they mistaken about? They didn't know the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage. Oh, I hear a sigh of relief from some of you. But they're like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, listen to this. Have you not read? And I want to say this to you. Have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished. Woo! I love that. They were not just astonished at the signs and the wonders and the miracles. They were also astonished at the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this whole episode was sparked by the Sadducees, who tested Jesus with a ridiculous and hypothetical question about a man who dies and he had no children. And so his brother, according to the Jewish custom, takes his wife and he marries her and dies too, and the six other brothers, and the woman is still barren. And they ask Jesus, whose wife should she be at the resurrection? Now, they ask this question to mock the whole idea of the resurrection because they didn't believe in it. And so Jesus said this. He said, "You do not know the scriptures and you do not know the power of God." When a person is in error, it's one of two things, right? It's either they don't know the word of God or they don't know the power of God. And all failure in Christian life stems from the result of one of these two things, ignorance. And what was it that the Sadducees were ignorant about? They were ignorant about this, that the dead are still alive. Amen. And in fact, that they are more alive than we know. And I just feel like I need to give this word to some of you who have lost loved ones recently and lost loved ones over the years, who have died in the Lord. And I want you to know they are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. They are more alive than you even know. Amen. Now, the Sadducees believed in something called oblivion. When you die, it's all over. That's it. Zip. Yeah, there's no more existence. But if that's our common fate, then of all men, we're most pitiable, because as Christians, we believe in something called the resurrection. And if Jesus tarried in the next 50 years, most of us in this room won't be alive. That's a fact. In fact, in the next 25 years for that matter. So it's my job as the pastor to prepare you for the ultimate leap of faith. We need to be prepared for what is the common fate of all mankind. So what happens to believer when he or she dies? That's the question I want to answer, because ignorance will keep our hearts in fear. All right? For us, death must never be a step into the unknown. We ought to know exactly what is going to happen. And if we have knowledge of this, then Paul says, we do not mourn, we do not sorrow like others do. Amen. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that actually reveal what happens when a man or a woman dies. Here are some examples. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 48, the Lord spoke to Moses on the same day that he was supposed to die, saying, "Go up to the mountain of Abarim, Mount Nebo, and then die at the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to," watch this, "gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people." Now both Moses and Aaron died on a mountaintop. It's very important that when we die on a mountaintop experience at the peak of our lives, not at the trough or the valley of sorrow. Amen. In this passage, the Lord speaks to Moses about the gathering of his people. And this is important because when we die, we are gathered together with the people that we've known in the past. It's called a reunion. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are reunited with people that we have known, we've gone to be with the Lord in our earthly pilgrimage, and they are waiting for us. They are eagerly waiting for you. So that's really an important thing for us to note. The second scripture is in Luke 16 and verse 22. Jesus talked about two men who died, a rich man and Lazarus. Now the rich man was a Jew. He died, but he was a stingy man. He was miserly. He couldn't care less about the plight of the poor, and he goes down to hell. It's a terrible place, by the way. He's in torment and fire, all right? And Lazarus was carried by the angels to something, to a place called Abraham's bosom, which I believe to be paradise, which if people have seen it before, have said it's a gorgeous place, massively huge, very beautiful, according to the accounts of those who have seen paradise. So he goes to paradise, and so this is what happens. The angels come, and they take us, all right? They take us and escort us to our dwelling place. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 6, Paul says, I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering for my time of departure. Departure. I love the way the Bible talks about death. You know, we talk about it as a departure. Amen. The word departure in the Greek is analuo, and it means to raise an anchor from a ship, or it also means to break camp. It's really interesting that when we are tied to this material world because of this anchor, our physical life is tied to this material world. But the moment we die, the anchor is raised, the golden pitcher is broken, and all of a sudden we are freed from the confines of our human body and the restrictions of our mortality. Now death, ladies and gentlemen, is inevitable. There is only one generation that will not taste death, and that's the generation of believers that will experience the rapture when Jesus comes. It says, in a twinkling of an eye, they will all be changed. The word change is the word metamorphosis, all right? There will be a change. And so what basically Paul is saying is that if you don't change, you cannot go up. If you don't change, you cannot enter into the life hereafter. So a change has to happen, all right? The dead shall arise first, and then those who are alive will be caught up. But for the rest of us, we will experience death. It's inevitable. And so we must not be afraid of it. Amen. Now, passing of one life to another life should be an exciting time. Paul had no fear of it. If we live faithfully serving the Lord, then death should be our... Everybody say this, homecoming. Homecoming, very important word for us to remember, right? Paul had such an expectation that he was so hard-pressed about whether he wanted to stay here. Come on, this boggles my mind. Whether he could stay here, the choice was given to him by the Lord. The Lord says, do you want to stay on this earth or do you want to come up and be with me? And Paul said, Lord, I want to stay on the earth because there's so much to do. There's so much people that need to hear the gospel. Come on, hallelujah. And so in Philippians chapter 1, he says, I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, listen to this, nevertheless to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul chose to stay on the earth for the benefit of the saints that needed it, and he was fully aware for him, dying was gain. Amen. He knew that the next life was far more superior than this present life. Now, there are four kinds of death that are mentioned in the Bible. The first is physical death. And when we talk about physical death, there are two kinds of physical death. The first is called full of days. Full of days. The Bible never refers to a man being full of years. It's always full of days. So when I come to the fullness of my days, whether it's 70 or whether it's 80 years or whether it's 90, then death is something that is unavoidable, right? But it's not too much of a problem because I assume that most of you are already preparing for death, all right? It's interesting. I was thinking about this. One of pastors, Pastor Caleb, who is really a wonderful pastor, said to us that last year he did 64 funerals in the church. 64. Now, a lot of these were parents of members of our church. Well, that's a lot of people. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. I hope we're having more children born than people going. Amen. But anyway, the full of days, right? The second kind of death is called premature death. Now, in the Bible, there are many examples of people who died prematurely. All right, we think of Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to lie, conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit, was struck dead very swiftly. We think of Nadab and Abihu. We think of Achan in the Bible, people who died very prematurely by judgment. And then we also think of a woman, the widow in Luke chapter 7, whose son that Jesus raised from the dead. Remember that the woman of Nain. And all this comes in the form of sickness or conflict. The truth is, people die prematurely and they don't come into the fullness of days. And that's why Jesus raised the dead. Why? Because not everyone dies in God's timing. All right. I heard a story of a man who died, and he gave his testimony. He said he was spiraling down into hell, literally. And an angel intercepted him as he was going down to hell and said, God has given you a second chance. Come on. And he was bringing him up. And listen to this, what the angel said. The angel said, your mother prayed for you and specific number of times, and we're talking about thousands of times. Your mother prayed for you thousands of times, very specific number, and every prayer she prayed was remembered. Every prayer was recorded. Mothers, don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your kids. No matter how wayward they are, they might not be following Jesus right now. You keep praying for them. And the Lord says every prayer will be remembered and recorded. And He will intercept them. He will catch them. Amen. Hallelujah. The second death is something called spiritual death. And the best way to understand spiritual death is to ask the question, what is spiritual life? Spiritual life is the conscious communion with the Father and with the Son. And spiritual death is the opposite. It's the absence of the presence of God. And so while we are alive, we're actually dead. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, even though you live, you are dead, all right, and your sin. And so what could be worse, right? The Bible explicitly speaks about our death as an enemy, right? Therefore, as Christians, we must never consciously seek death, right? The person that seeks death, it's called what? Suicide. And that's a spirit of suicide, meaning for a Christian, suicide is never an option or an alternative. I rebuke the spirit of suicide over this house in the name of Jesus. I speak the blood of the Lamb over this house right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabababanda Yarama. And I bind the spirit of suicide. It will not touch our children. It will not touch our children's children in the name of Jesus. I speak the blood of Jesus and I rebuke the spirit of death and I rebuke the spirit of suicide over this house. Amen. The third kind of death is what the Bible calls the second death. It's the lake of fire. It's found in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. My spiritual father had a vision of the lake of fire. He said there are currents like in any sea or lake, you know, there are currents. He said there are currents. And he says every time the currents would move, people would scream in torment. He said the bottomless pit encircles the lake of fire, which is tubular. And, you know, he gave very apt description of the lake of fire, the bottomless pit. He said there were caves in the bottomless pit where people were falling and had sensation of falling that never reaching the bottom, and people in the caves were screaming and crying out in terrible agony and terrible pain. No one should ever have to go to places like this, right? And then finally, number four, death to sin. This is Romans chapter 6, where Paul explains what it means to be dead to sin, right? It's interestingly, the Bible never speaks about extinction. It always speaks about separation. Death in the Bible is always a separation, all right? Death from sin means I'm separated from sin. The sin does not die. I am the one who dies. I am the one who is crucified with Christ. Amen. Now, for a few moments, allow me just to share with you a bit of theology about the similarities between heaven, earth, and hell, all right? And every person who's ever been born since Adam is now living in one of these three great spheres of civilization. We're all on earth right now, okay? We're all on earth. One day we will all die, all right? And have two options, right? Very limited, by the way, no choices, right? Either heaven or hell, that's it. Either heaven or hell, all right? One of the things that we've not understood is how much the natural world reflects the heavenly world. Everything that heaven is, earth is the same. It's only in a lesser glory. Paul talked about the glory of the celestial and the glory of the terrestrial, how they differ from one another. But if you read the book of Revelation in the last two chapters, you get a little peek of the eternal city, and you will find as you read it, oh my goodness, it's so like earth. There's so much similarities. Like there are trees, there are fruits, there are streams, there are streets, there are rivers, there are gates, there are fountains, there are walls, there are mountains, there are precious stones and foundations. And these are things that we are all familiar with, all right? But what we do not see in heaven is the effects of the curse. It will be completely eradicated. What we do not see is sin in heaven. Sin will be totally eradicated. Neither do we find anything that defiles or causes an offense. And we will never see an unbeliever ever again. We need to preach the gospel, my friends. Amen. The great prayer Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know that we can have a slice of heaven on earth right now? If we learn how to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, how many of you know that in Cornerstone, if we do the will of God always in Cornerstone, we can have a slice of heaven here in church? Yes? Then let's expand it a little bit. We can have a slice of heaven in our marriage. We can have a slice of heaven in our children, in our families, in our homes. Everywhere we go, we can have a slice. If the will of God is always executed and done, I am telling you, the potential of this is unlimited. Amen. It's so real. So think about this for a few moments, right? Sin entered the world. Our planet reflected before the sin entered the world. Our planet reflected the glory of heaven. God planted a garden eastward of Eden. Eden was the slice of heaven that God took from heaven and put it on earth and transplanted it on earth. It's called Eden. And then he expanded the garden, the Eden, into a garden. And the Garden of Eden is where he put man to dwell. All right, there was no curse, there was no barrenness, there was no death in the garden. It was a perfect environment because it was a replica of heaven. But you know the story, sin entered and everything in the garden and in the planet was cursed and the glory faded and death entered into the storyline of humanity. Now hell is a place that is completely absent of God's presence, His love, His light, His hope. It is earth in the most fallen and wicked state. People who have seen visions of hell say everything is dead there. The trees are dead. There's no fruit. The rivers are dry. There's no water. It's fire. It's lava. Souls of men that are tormented. There's no beauty in hell. Violence everywhere. Every evil thing is there. And those who have died, but those who have died in the Lord have also returned to tell us, always say the same things of what happened when they die. They often found themselves rising up. Watch this, please. Heaven above, hell below, right? Rising up, and they are drawn irresistibly towards heavenly melody and a glorious light. They say the instance the body is separate, the spirit is separate from the body detached, all of a sudden their spiritual senses come alive, and their eyes can see like miles away. They can see a tree with a leaf on it, and they can see the details on the leaf. That sounds like superheroes, supervision, amen. And all our senses come alive. They often testify that they would past the galaxies, and they would stand before Jesus, and his voice would be like the sound of many waters. But it hits you, it hits your mind, your heart, your ears, all at the same time. And it's a sense around effect, and the voice of the Lord is booming and thunderous, and yet it is soft and tender and sweet all at once. And in video screens, everybody says that, all right? Video screens always appear, and they show your different aspects of your life, and there's always a scripture that tells you what was going through at that moment in your life. We had a woman in our church speak at our Woman at Wonder conference, WOW conference. Her name was Bonnie Chavda, and she experienced a death experience in the hospital bed. But so I was at lunch, I was asking her, I said, Bonnie, what was it like when you died and came back to life? I said, what was it like the moment you died? She said, Pastor Young, it's like this. She said, I was thinking one thought, the next thought, I was in the presence of God. That's how quick it is. From one thought to another thought. And that gave me such a sense of hope, and the fear of death was removed immediately. I'm telling you this, it's how quick it is, one thought to another thought. Amen. Amen. A pastor died and returned to tell the story of how he was instructed to tell every believer that these are the two questions that they would be asked on Judgment Day. Number one, have you stewarded what I've given you for my purposes, right? Everyone has been given pounds and talents and abilities, and we have to steward them for the ministry that God has called us. And, you know, we, many of us, sometimes waste these opportunities and waste these things that God gives to us and sends to us, and we have to give an account of our lives for that, right? So have you stewarded the gift of God that He has given to you? Number two, second question, how have you lived your life with regards to the Lordship of Jesus? When you return to heaven, God will require each one of us to give an account to how we have stewarded our lives into the Lordship or under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we must just resolve this issue once and for all. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a word for some of you here today. I believe this is from the Holy Spirit. Stop being a fan of a celebrity. They don't care about you. They don't know about you. But start being a fan of Jesus Christ. He died for you. Amen. Some of you Swifties here have to renounce your Swift, your association with Swift, all right? Amen. I'm telling you, there's too much hero worship and too much fascination with celebrities in the church today, and this has to die, amen. I'm telling you this, it's idolatry. It's really idolatry. That's why they call idols, right? Pop idol stars. And so we have to be very careful, amen, about this. Now, let me talk to you about the cross, because something happened after Jesus died and was resurrected. What happened at Calvary? Jesus dies, he steps down into the realm of death and Hades. And what does he do? Why did he do that? He came to defeat the one who had the keys of hell and death, right? So he comes to take and destroy him who had the power of death. That's Hebrews chapter 2. Takes the key of Hades and death. On the third day, he rose from the dead victorious. On the other side, something happened. Something happened when he was raised from the dead. What changed? Before Jesus' resurrection, people died and went to Hades. After his resurrection, believers, we don't die. We depart, and Jesus is standing there, and he says, you will never, ever have to fear death, because I took the sting of death, I took the fear of death, and I swallowed death. You will never have to be worried about death. If you know Jesus, when it is time for you to cross over, you don't ever need to be afraid, because he took the sting of death, and he's there on the other side, and he's saying, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. A father was in his car with his daughter. The windscreens were down. A bee came into the car. The daughter starts screaming, and the father shielded the daughter and then caught the bee in his hands and allowed the bee to sting him. And then he opens his hands. He showed the daughter, honey, you don't ever have to worry about this bee. He says, I took the sting for you. Amen. I took the sting for you. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took the sting of death. Now, I want to just take a few more moments to read a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a very, very important passage of scripture for us today. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What is the mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That word change is metamorphosis. In a moment, the word moment is the word athemos, which means in a nanosecond, all right? In a split second, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and the mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible is put on incorruption and the mortal is put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where are you swallowed up in victory? O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is your victory? I want you to repeat after me. O death! Where is thy sting? Oh, Hades, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus has conquered the grave. We need to proclaim that over and over again. Death, you have no more sting. Hallelujah. Now, Paul says in verse 53 that the corruptible must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. It's quite a mouthful. But the corruptible are people who have already died. Their bodies are in corruption. That's all it means, right? The mortals are the ones who are still alive. And they remain till the Lord comes. Paul says the mortal must put on immortality. Meaning, in order for us to get to heaven, there has to be a change, a metamorphosis. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the whole basic premise of my message. If you forget this, you just remember this, right? If you don't die, you can't go to heaven. If you don't die, you can't get your new body. Amen? I'm 66 by the end of the year. I want a new body. I can tell you this. Amen? There are things that I used to do I can't do now. Amen? Every time I bend to take something, every time I squat, or every time I do something, I have to watch myself. When I get up from bed in the morning, I take my time, stretch myself before I get out of bed. I don't want anything to happen to me. You know, at this age, anything can happen. And all the old people in front say amen. So Paul says, the corruption becomes incorruption, mortal becomes mortal. Listen to this. I take off my old tent, which is my body, and I put on a new building. But the new building is not just an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. And Paul talks about the new building from God, a house that is not made with hands, eternal. In other words, if you don't die later on, you don't get your new body. And your new body is not just an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. So, listen, when I get to heaven, I'm not just going to my face. Think about what kind of face you're going to have in heaven. It's not going to be just an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. We're part of a community. And I am concerned about the people who don't come to church. Because heaven is about church and community. It's all about community. Jesus died for his people. Amen. So this is really important, right? Verse John 8 and 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Now, the context, there was this conflict between the Jews and Jesus. The Jews were trying to protect God's honor. Jesus was God's honor. Come on. And they were trying to have this debate. And then Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word, you will never see death. They said, how can this be? Are you older than Abraham? Are you older? We always think like this. We always think in physical terms. And then what Jesus is saying, he says, if you believe in me, you will have uninterrupted fellowship with me. Death will not interrupt the fellowship. You will not die like other people do. You just pass from one life to another life, one thought to another thought. In other words, the body will expire, but you will never taste death. What does that mean? It makes sense when we understand that death is a person. It's not just an idea. It's not just a concept. It is a person. And that's why in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says that the death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. You can't throw a personality. You can't throw an idea into the lake of fire. It's a person. And what Jesus is saying, that when you die, death as a person will not be there to take you. I will be there to receive you. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great Savior we have. Amen. You will not taste death. And finally, let me just share with you what happens at the resurrection of Jesus in Matthew 27. And verse 53, it says, coming out from the grave after the resurrection. What happened at the resurrection? The moment Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom. The rocks were split. There was an earthquake. And the Bible says that the graves were open. Boom! The graves were open, right? But the next 3 days, they were somehow hidden and for the next 3 days. And then they were quickened in the grave, concealed themselves. And on the day of the resurrection, they appeared. These are the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs. They appeared to the people in Jerusalem and they testified of the witness of Jesus Christ and they testified of the resurrection. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, dying is our final testimony. How you die, in what manner you die is important to God, that in our death we testify one last time of our faith in the Lord. When Jesus died on the cross, he was so dignified in the way he died. He was in total control when he died that even the Roman centurion looked up and says, oh my goodness, this is the Son of God. That even at his death, he was testifying of the victory he had. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo. Finally, I want you to consider four things. Number one, martyrdom. Many of you, I guess, have thought of the issue of martyrdom, how you would act. How would they? You would act if they come to take you for the last time. We all saw the picture of those 24 brave guys that received Jesus, refused to renounce their faith and got slit in their throats in public, and it was a very public death. So we need to put that in our think box, because the more we come to the end, the more we're going to see martyrdom. Number two, physical sickness and long-term illnesses. Some of you have cancer, perhaps, and your doctor has given you 6 months, 3 months, 12 months to live. How do you cope with that? And it's a real thing for some people here right now in this auditorium. You've been given a short lease of life. Every day is important. Every day counts. Every day. I heard a funny story about a man who said to his, a doctor who said to his patient, you've got only 6 months to live. I'm sorry. And the man said, but I can't pay you. Well, that's okay. The doctor says, I'll give you 6 more months. Sorry about that. That's a silly joke. And then the third one is an accident or tragedy. Yeah, some of you are young. You say, ah, Pastor, I don't need to hear this. Boy, I tell you this, you know, you've been reading the news. You see how sudden death happens, right? Right? Those people on the plane, they don't know it was going to crash. Those people in the car didn't know it was going to crash. I'm telling you, this death is so sudden, it's scary, right? So we must be prepared for it. Finally, old age. What will my face look like when I'm dying? Why do I ask that? Because what's on the inside will be manifested on the outside. Is there going to be this beautiful smile, the gentleness? You know, the longer we know him, the sweeter he becomes. You should become sweeter too. All these old people in the church, you should be the sweetest people in Cornerstone, not the most crankiest, right? You know, at the end of the service, this old man came up to me, just second, first service. He was in tears. He said, Pastor, thank you for this word. My wife just died a few weeks ago. Thank you very much. He said, see the pain, but also the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the things that I've seen in old people, and I've seen quite a few die in my generation, as they approach death, they get bitter. They get very angry with people that have hurt them in the past, and the anger seems to rise to the surface, and they get very cranky, and don't do that. Amen. Die with dignity, die with grace. And I close with this last story in Isaiah 38, and you know the story of a man called Hezekiah. Hezekiah was very young, 38. He'd finished all the assignments in his life. It was time for him to go. God was pleased with him. And prophet comes and says, hey, get your house in order. You're going to die. How many of you think that that's a wonderful thing to know, that the time of your departure? Yeah, I think so. I think so too. I think so. I agree with that. I think it's great to know when you're going to go and the Lord tells you. And it's a homecoming. It's a homecoming. Listen, I tell you this amazing story of a missionary. 30 years in the mission field, he comes back to his home. In those days, there were no aeroplanes. This is many years ago. So he was in a ship. But on the ship, there was a movie star from Hollywood. And as the ship docked, and there was thousands of people, there was a band that was playing. And everybody was waiting for the movie star to step down under. And no one was waiting for this missionary. And so he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I've served you all my life, given my life to you. And I come home and there's not a person waiting for me. And this movie star lives his life in debauchery and he comes back, there's thousands, tens of thousands of people waiting for him, the band playing for him. And the Lord said to him, who said you were home? This is not our home. I'm telling you this. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. You know, people always say, life is short, enjoy it. Let me just say this, eternity is long, prepare for it. Prepare for it, amen. How come you come up so fast? I guess to go fast. Stay here. My spiritual father told me a story, and I want to share with you this because I feel, Pastor Tim and Sharon, this is really a word for you. My spiritual father told me a story of a beautiful, he was in the staff of a Bible school in Switzerland, and there was a beautiful young lady who really loved the Lord, seeking the Lord. She was a student in the school, but she contracted some disease, and she fell into terrible sickness, and she was in the hospital. And so the college would pray for her. And every time the college prayed for her, she could get better. And when they stopped praying for her, she could get worse. And then they prayed for her, she could get better, worse and better, worse and better and worse. And this went on for months. And finally, they realized maybe we're not praying right. So they said the next time she falls into the state of, if she collapses again, then this is the prayer we will pray. Lord, if you want her, take her. If not, heal her. They told the parents, would you be agreeable for this prayer? The parents says, yes, we are agreeable. So the next time this lady went into a relapse, they gathered around the hospital room and they all prayed this prayer. They said, Lord, if you want her, take her, if not, heal her. Brother Bailey said, my goodness, the glory came in a cloud in that room. He said, I saw in my eyes, his eyes were open. He saw the chariots come and they separated the living from the dead. And she said, a staircase came from heaven. A staircase was formed. And she said, Jesus walked down, beautiful garments like a bridegroom coming down from the staircase. And he touched the girl and the spirit leaped out from her body. And he did this. Brother Bailey said, he did this like that. And the girl held his arms like a bride, and they walked up the stairs. And Brother Bailey said, Lord, why did you show me this? The Lord says, in 7 years, you will know. Well, this woman had a call to go into the mission field. She had a call in the ministry, and because she died, someone else took her position, and the person who took her position at the end of 7 years, I think, died of a broken heart. So I don't know what happened. It was very, very bad, very painful. At the end of 7 years, the Lord said to Brother Bailey, now do you understand? I took her because she found favor in my sight. And I didn't want her to go through the pain. As far as I was concerned, because she sought me on a daily basis, I took it as she had finished her course. Hallelujah. She finished her race. Amen. I tell you this, the Lord sees things very, very differently. Amen. And we must understand that that the Lord loves us all very much. All right. Finally, let me just say, what decision will you make in 100 years that will matter today? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. When you step into the threshold of heaven and you come into your dwelling place that he has prepared for you, I assure you that everything you love will be there. And God wants you to know that you are expected, that you are welcome, and he loves you, and that you are home because you are his son and his daughter. Heaven is a place that is prepared in specific detail for you. He knows exactly what music you like. He knows exactly what color you like. He knows exactly what furniture you like. He knows exactly what decor you like. He knows exactly what pictures you like on those walls that you have. And he especially curated it for you. I tell you this, when you step into your dwelling place in heaven, it is perfect for you. Because your Heavenly Father knows who you are. He knows what you are. Okay, one last story. In 2021, I read this on the internet. I thought it was such a great story. Brad Bright, who is the son of the famous Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade, 18 years after his dad died, wrote a beautiful article to commemorate his father's death. And here's an excerpt, very short excerpt. He says, I will never forget the moment 18 years ago, my dad was so looking forward to it, to the moment that he would graduate. Woo! He was like a child anticipating entering into Disneyland for the first time. My son Keller crawled up to his bed a few moments after he passed away and softly said, Grandpa, I hope you have fun in heaven. I hope you have fun in heaven. And that's that 8-year-old child understood heaven, I think, better than many of us. I hope you have fun in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we must change our view of dying. We have lived, if we lived a life that glorifies Jesus, we can look forward to a glorious homecoming. If you have not lived a life that glorifies Jesus, you can start today. Yeah? It's not too late. You're still alive. I was reading a book yesterday by a man called D.G.S. Dinakaran, one of the great men of God in India, who had passed away. Had a privilege of meeting him one time. He prayed for me and my wife. He said this to me. He said in the book, he said, I was in heaven one time. He said, I saw Samson. Samson was a spectacular man, strong, and he was full of joy, full of glory, and full of holiness. And the Lord said, this is Samson. Told him, this is Samson. She said, Samson, tell him your story. Samson said, I backslid from the Lord. I backslid from the Lord. I lost my salvation. I backslid from the Lord. I was so far away from him. And they plucked out my eyes. They cut my hair. I lost my anointing. I lost my strength. He said, there I was pulling the millstone. I came to my senses and I repented. And I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me one more time, please. And he said, the Lord right there forgave him. And not only forgave him, and forgot all his sins. Forgot all his sins. And he said, Lord, just one time, give me strength. And he pulled the pillars and, you know, the walls came down. And it was an amazing story. He said, I saw Samson. He was full of the glory of Jesus Christ. We make mistakes in life, but there's no mistakes that God cannot undo. Amen. If we have a heart of repentance, amen. You know, you can't undo eggs, scrambled eggs, right? But you can take those eggs and make it a beautiful souffle. Amen. I don't know much about cooking, but I heard somebody say this. I'm just repeating. Where's the pianist? Now you can come out. That's all, Stan. You know, last week I talked about what happens when the books are open, and I talked about Judgment Day, and this week I talk about dying, and you know, I'm thinking a lot about this because I'm 65, coming to 66. And a month ago, of course, about a month and a half, my mom passed away. And I've been thinking a lot about my mom and the wonderful life she lived, and how during her wake and funeral, I didn't shed a single tear. I love my mom, and I know I miss her, but I just couldn't cry, you know, I just couldn't. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, is my heart a little hardened that I, you know, at my mom's funeral? And I'll just tell you this, I had such an overpowering sensation that my mom was in the presence of God. Jumping, dancing, singing. She was so happy, and it would dishonor her if I said, oh God, mom, why did you leave us here? It would be so dishonoring. She is in the presence of God, and she's waiting for me. She's waiting for all of us as well. I believe we're all going to see the loved ones that we have gone before us. And they're going to grow. And when we see them, especially those of you who have lost children, you know, maybe at childbirth, it's stillborn, you're going to see them. I promise you, you're going to see them. And when you see them, they're going to be fully mature. And they're going to say, hey, mom, dad. And you, oh, my goodness. Dinakaran, he lost a son at childbirth. And then later on, he lost his daughter in a car accident. Very, very painful life he lived. And he shared about how one day he was in his room and a company of angels came to talk to him, and he was talking to them, and one of them looked different from the rest, but he was a full-grown person, right? And just before that group of angels left, that one particular one said, Dad, everything's going to be okay. Oh, I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, so moving. He said, Dad, everything's going to be okay. But he couldn't recognize him because now he's full grown, he's fully mature. And I want to pray for you. If your life is not right with Jesus right now, you need to get right with the Lord. Really, my friends, please prepare for heaven. Prepare for your death. Prepare for the homecoming. It's very important. You might say, this life is short. I want to enjoy it. Listen, eternity is long. You need to prepare for it. Prepare for heaven. Prepare for it. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now, search your heart. And if you need to repent wherever you are right now, just get right with Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. Whatever needs to be done right, put right, made right, renounce, do it right now. In Jesus' name. Shaya mama moke boya ya no yesa. Himora yidda rimi andara shoya na namaha. Yeah, Put the fear of God in us, Lord. Put the fear of the Lord in us. Put the fear of the Lord in us. Put the fear. We receive and welcome the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I bless you according to the scriptures. The blessing of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his peace. And so may God put his name upon you forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise. Amen.
To a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.